It is great to be here this morning and to have this opportunity to worship the Lord together. If you're visiting with us, we thank you so much for being here. We always consider you our honored guests and appreciate getting to know you a little bit after services this morning. In regard to the grief support group, which was announced a moment ago, and I think last week also, or last Wednesday night also, it's important for you to let me know if you're interested in that. It'll be Sunday night, the 22nd, after services, our first meeting. Let me know about that, or if you have questions, ask me about those. And it's good. It's good for me to know how many are planning to come. So if you don't let me know, I may give you a call. So we'll see how that works out. Our word for this week, we've been talking about words out of a little book we've been reading. One Word is the title of that book. Our word this past week has been truth. Truth. If you can't preach a lesson on truth, you probably ain't been called to preach. I mean, that's just something that there's so much about it in the Bible that we have got to be aware of. Truth. I mean, Pilate asked, what is it? And I guess we ought to start there by saying, what is it? Is that for real? Colleen sometimes will ask me, really? And that means, are you telling me the truth? What is real is truth, and what is truth is real. When you look in the world around you and you look out the window and see a tree, I hope you're of those who say, that's a tree. And that's real. I know, God made it, and if I was to go out there and grab it, it would stand firm, right? It's a tree. You look at the stars at night, you see them out there. Are those for real? Or maybe they're just kind of an optical illusion. We know that they're real. We see the universe around us. We understand that truth agrees with reality. Truth is real. Truth is not imagined, not if it's truth. Truth is not deception, not if it's truth. Truth is real. In the opening verses of the Gospel of John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing has come into being that has come into being. That is the fundamental truth about origins. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1, verse 1. As soon as you leave that fundamental truth about origins, you open up a whole bag of problems. Again, going to the Gospel of John, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1, verse number 14. That is the truth about Christ's incarnation. Matthew 1, 23 says about Jesus, that He would be called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Then there's a third chapter of the Gospel of John in verse number 16, where the Scripture says that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but shall have eternal life. That is the truth about why Jesus came into this world. In Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, Jesus said, I have come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus had a conversation with Pilate. We alluded to it a moment ago, where He explained His purpose for coming into the world. And He said that He had come to testify or to bear witness to the truth. Jesus was all about truth. He came to bear witness of the truth. And in that passage, He said, everyone who hears, who is of the truth, hears My voice. It's not surprising that in the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, when Jesus is trying to comfort the hearts of the disciples about his coming departure, telling them about mansions or about dwelling places that he was going to prepare for them, when one of the disciples came to Jesus, his name was Philip, and said, "Show us the Father." And Jesus responded, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." Verse 9 of John 14. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Verse 6. Pilate is kind of like a lot of folks today, especially, I suppose, those who have been victims of higher education sometimes. He just couldn't get his head around what truth is. And so he said, "What is truth?" He was not able to comprehend it. And the fact of the matter is, we cannot comprehend truth without a conversation with Jesus. Without knowing Jesus, we cannot know the truth, because he is the truth. Jesus is the ultimate reality of the universe. Jesus, why is he so hated by so many? Because he is the ultimate reality. He determines what is right and wrong. And people don't like what he has to say sometimes, and so they don't like the truth. But Jesus was the instrument through whom God created the universe. He spoke and it was done, as Psalm 33 points out. Jesus is the exact representation of the Father in heaven. Hebrews 1, verse 3. Jesus is the Word incarnate. That means Jesus is God's Word in the flesh, the second person of the Godhead. He is God's message to the world today. The Hebrew letter begins with God. After he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, has in these last days, that's where we live, in these last days spoken to us in his Son. He is God's spokesman, God's word, God's message. When Jesus prayed to the Father in John 17 and verse 17, he said, "Thy word is truth." So what is truth? In its essence, it is the message of God. It is Jesus Christ. It is a material creation that he has produced and the spiritual message that he has given to us. Without truth, we would be among those who are sitting in the darkness in the shadow of death. Luke 1, verse 79. But as Christians, the Bible tells us that we are brought forth by the word of truth. James chapter 1 and verse 18. In obeying the truth, Peter says, our hearts are purified. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. There's that great passage in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 where Paul talks about the importance of loving the truth and says in that passage that many will be deceived and will believe a lie because they chose not to love God's truth. In 2 Timothy 2:15, we are told to be those who are handling accurately the word of truth. We're to hold to the truth. The writer of Proverbs says to buy the truth and don't sell it. Proverbs 23, 23. And most of all, Jesus. As it says in John chapter number 8, you shall know the truth and the truth will make you free. I believe that you're here this morning because you are a seeker of truth. You're not looking for cleverly disguised deceptions that just make you feel good about yourself and good about your relationship with God. You're not looking for a spiritual placebo that you could take and just make you feel good. You want the real thing, the same thing that God wants, and that is truth in the innermost being, Psalm 51 and verse 6. You want a faith that is real. You want a heart that is true. You want a devotion that is sincere. You want to love God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your strength, and with all of your soul. Matthew 22, verse 37. And Jesus is that truth. His word is that standard that we must follow. When His truth is our standard, we will know the difference between right and wrong. When His truth, the truth, is our standard. See, right and wrong is not determined by popular opinion. Can you believe it? How could something be right 30 years ago, and because we have changed and evolved, suddenly when you take a vote, it becomes wrong today? Popular opinion does not determine morality. Morality is rooted in the character of God. Something is right because it agrees with God's nature and God's character. Something is wrong because it contradicts and opposes God's nature and character. And we know the difference by consulting the truth, God's word, to hear what He has to say about the matter. But here's the point. If we seek to establish our moral standards on the basis of what we think, or probably more accurately, on the basis of what we want, then we are no longer serving God. We're no longer worshiping God. We're serving ourselves, our own desires, and we are practicing a form of idolatry. Self-worship. No, right and wrong is not determined by popular opinion. Truth agrees with ultimate reality. Truth does not change. Jesus is the embodiment of truth. He says, I am the truth. And for us to think about truth changing is to think about Jesus changing. Scripture says in Hebrews 13, verse 8, that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Aren't you glad that's in the Bible? Aren't you glad that Jesus doesn't change like the ocean tides or like the weather? That Jesus is the same. You can count on Him. He will not change. And for us to say that the truth changes, that standards for right and wrong are always up to changing, is to say that Jesus changes. He doesn't change. What is right because of the eternal character of God. What is wrong because of the eternal character of God. And yet today in our society we have this idea that everything is just up for grabs, don't we? They call it relativism. That is, there are no moral absolutes. You better not say that something's wrong because you're going to get in trouble for that. You got to be careful. Everything's got to be wishy-washy. And you got to proceed it by, well, in my opinion, I think that, you know, you got to be careful about what you say. But suggesting there are no moral absolutes, that's crazy. To say there are no moral absolutes is itself an absolute. You violated your own principle. And if some say truth is relative, then could it not be the case that if truth is relative, then saying that truth is relative is itself not really absolute, and therefore truth could be absolute? The nonsense of it all. We need an objective and unchanging standard of truth. Otherwise, we will live our lives in a sea of ambiguity, not knowing which way is up. Right and wrong becomes a meaningless pursuit. We're left to believe that the only thing that is wrong is to say that something's wrong. And you know, that's an absolute. And it can't be true according to what they're saying. So moral relativism rejects the idea of there being good and evil. But that doesn't agree with the truth. That doesn't agree with the ultimate reality. And to live as though that were the pattern of life, that there are no moral absolutes, that everything is relative, that we're living in kind of a malaise, a fog, and all of that, where we cannot really say this is right and that is wrong, and that everything is just subject to constant change, that's not being real to yourself or to God. That's living a lie. That's living a deception. The Bible says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. There is judgment. It's appointed to man once to die, and after that comes judgment. Don't come before God in judgment and say, well, you know, everything's just kind of relative, you know. There are no absolutes, you know. And, well, I didn't even know that you were existing for sure because everything is just kind of relative. Don't deceive yourself. And by the way, the verse before that, very important, verse 9 in 2 Corinthians 5 says, therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to Him. Our ambition is to please God. Our goal in life is to be pleasing to God. But let me, how is that even possible if all things are relative? How could you possibly please God if everything is relative? No wonder the world's in the shape that it's in today, when people are being constantly convinced into believing this kind of lie, that moral values are relative. We cannot know anything's right or know anything's wrong for sure. But with truth as our standard, we can know both what is right and what is wrong. And it's time for America to wake up, for the church to take its stand and get out of that fog and walk in the light of truth. Now, when truth is our standard, we'll know right and wrong, but we'll also know where to find the accurate answers to the questions that come before us. And there will be questions. We cannot expect to find answers by looking at the world around us. The Word of God says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21 that the world through its wisdom did not come to know God. That tells me right there that the world is not where I want to look for answers. I want to know God, don't you? But the world does not know God. The prophet Isaiah recorded the words of our Lord God, and he said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways, declares the Lord, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways above your ways, and my thoughts above your thoughts. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. There's a vast difference between the way we want to think and the way God thinks. God is the eternal God. God is truth. Jesus is the expression of that truth. And here we are down here, the created ones, trying to figure out things that and change God's mind about things. It makes no sense. There's a way that seems right to a man. Proverbs 14, verse 12. But you remember where that way leads us? And it's the way of death. It's the way of death. Because God's word is truth, it's a standard that will be measured by. Jesus, in John chapter 12, verse 48, said, he who rejects me and does not receive my sayings as one who judges him. What is that? What does that judge? The word which I spoke is what will judge him on the last day. We're going to be judged by the truth of God's word. It's not your truth or my truth. It's God's truth. If it's not God's truth, it's a lie. If it's not God's truth, it doesn't relate to the ultimate reality of the universe. It's deception. We need to love the truth. That means we need to love God, and we need to love His Son Jesus, who is the embodiment of truth. We need to love His Word, which is the expression of truth, and that needs to be our goal in this life. But here we are today, and at a time when the government has established, you know it, the ministry of truth. Can you believe it? Are you for real? That ought to make the hair on the back of your neck stand up. How can a government dedicated to the proposition that there is a separation of church and state possibly tell us what is truth? A government that is basically devoted to the concept that we must remove God from our schools, remove God from the government. We don't need that in these things. We've got to have that separation there, you see. And how does that make them qualified to distinguish truth from error? If you have a rudimentary, even an elementary knowledge of history, and I don't know that we're getting that today as much as we should, you will know that we're treading in dangerous waters. You'll know it. It's a fact. It's historical. I was among those who grew up at a time where George Orwell's 1984 was required reading. I don't know if it's high school or junior high, but I remember reading it. It's one of the few books I read. You know, usually I kind of got the cliff notes, you know. But I read that one. And I remember that story of that book being that here is a fella growing up in a time of total totalitarianism. Big brother, the government, watching over everybody. His job was in the Ministry of Information, part of a department called the Ministry of Truth. How could these people in the government even choose that name without thinking about that parallel? I have no idea. The Ministry of Truth itself was a pyramid-shaped building that was white in color and had three slogans that were prominently displayed. War is peace, freedom is slavery, ignorance is strength. You say, does that sound confusing? Right. It sounds exactly like moral relativism. You can't tell what's right or wrong. You can't say anything's right or wrong. It's nonsense. It's devoid of God's truth. But we see in our nation today a concerted effort to hold truth hostage. And now we have people in charge of disseminating what is truth versus what is not truth, who have no knowledge or reference to the Bible. No allegiance to Jesus as the truth. No belief necessarily in God as the one who is true. That's dangerous times. Our children are more and more being educated in the higher institutions of learning in which they are being more conditioned than educated about these matters that are pertaining to truth. We have media outlets that are totally encapsulated with this idea of not just reporting the news, but helping us to really understand the truth in their way of thinking. It's a problem. It's a problem that we as Christians need to be aware of, and that we need to make sure that we go back to the source of what is really the truth. Let's pray with David. Oh, Lord God, You are God, and Your words are truth. 2 Samuel 7:28. His truth is the standard. And just briefly, let me mention the third point. When truth is our standard, we will know what is our mission in life. When truth is our standard, we'll know why we're here. Jesus was here to bear witness to the truth. And in many ways, that's the mission that we have. We're here to hear the truth, John 18, verse 37. We're here to know the truth, John 8, 32. We're here to love the truth, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 10. We're here to speak the truth, Ephesians 4, 15. We're here to defend the truth, 1 Peter 3, 15. And most of all, we're here to obey the truth, 1 Peter 1, 22. And that's all connected to our mission of seeking and saving the lost. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. What is the gospel? That is the word of God. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, the first few verses. God's word is the truth. John 17, 17. We're going forth with the truth of the gospel. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. He that does not believe shall be condemned. So the truth must go marching on. It must go marching on if we want to stop or stem the tide of ungodliness in our world today. The truth must go marching on if we are to become like the church that God wants us to be, inwardly and outwardly. The truth must go marching on if we hope to become lights in the world of darkness. Paul described light. He said, as Christians in Ephesians chapter 5, we are the light. Jesus said that also in John 8, verse 12. But Paul says, light consists of all goodness and righteousness and truth. Truth is that light that shines. When the truth is your standard, you will know the difference between right and wrong. Don't be ashamed of that. Preface what you say with, the Bible says. Preface it with, God teaches. Preface it with, Christ has said. Don't make it your opinion. It's not your opinion. It's the word of God. It's the truth. When the truth is our standard, we'll know where to find accurate answers. I don't have all the answers. Do you? But I know where the answers are found in God's word. And if I'll search it, I can find those answers. And if the truth is your standard, you will know your mission in life. We are here to bear witness to the truth. We're here to sow the seed of the kingdom. We're here to practice it and to become lights to the world around us. The ultimate question is, are you ready to obey the truth? Because for the truth to set us free, we need to know it and we need to follow it. If you're ready to become a Christian in loving faith, repentance, and baptism, if you as a Christian need to come back to the Lord and need our prayers for whatever reason, we invite you to let us know. We'll be singing the song and asking that if you have a need we can help you with, to come to the front while we stand and while we sing together.